Log Talk Radio.
This is Jasa Sagonige, a seventh great grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Ginalee, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation. This evening, after we get done giving free Mayan birthday readings, we're going to play a recording of the late Marcellus Berhart. He was born in 1918 and spent about 14 years becoming a medicine man. And I mean, this man prayed in the White House with President Harry Truman. The ancestors walked the Trail of Tears, and he passed away in a couple years after he did the interview. It was very hard of hearing, and you'll be able to hear in the interview. Anyway, okay. I guess we lost Lynn. Okay, folks, if there's anybody online that would like to call in for a free Mayan birthday reading, please give us a call at 347-996-3318. Or you can Skype in. There's a little S button right next to the telephone number on the page that you're listening on. Anyway, you were doing a little research into Marcellus Berhart's numbers. What'd you come up with, Mark, or do you remember?
I think I sent it to you, right?
Yep.
I don't know if I kept a copy of that or not.
Let's see if I can. Let's see if I can pull it up here.
I sent you the dates because I worked on both the day he was born and also when he passed away.
Let's see here. Let me. Sorry about that.
I believe it was the day he was born. I believe was a 11X. 11 Jaguar.
We're a little disorganized today. Yeah, let me see if I can pull that email up.
And then the day that he died, I forgot that one. It was the Jaguar day that he was born on. He had an awful lot of Jaguar energy showing up in both his birth and death, and even as he's moved wherever he is now. So he had quite a bit of that, so... But I didn't know him in person, so I don't know how that actually, how he would say it related to his life. But he had quite a bit of it.
Yeah, he's not with us anymore, and he was, okay, yeah, here's the Berhart. Yeah, you had said Berhart equals 78, 9 eek in words is Bolan equals 78. And you said the mirror or reflection is 87. The day 87 is 9 Manik, the hand Kabul.
Right.
And, well, he was a speaker.
Hmm?
Go ahead.
Well, the 9 Manik is also has a number 9, but the Manik glyph, if you actually look at it, it's hand signing the Mayan number 9, which is done by putting your thumb and your first finger together.
Uh-huh.
The Kessler glyph is literally hand-signing that. And you'll see that particular hand symbolism on a very large number of Mayan paintings, carvings, and such. You even see it on Pakal's tomblet at Palenque at the Temple of Inscriptions. His right hand is hand-signing that particular number.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I just messaged that information over to you by face mail, that first that you sent me, that you worked up. Yeah, born April 13, 1918, 11 eeks. So he had a high tone. Yeah, no wonder he was... was quite a guy. And if you want to open up another browser, you can go to berhart.info and you can read a little bit more about his life. But we're waiting for Lynn, Mr. Keeler, to call back. 347-996-3318. I should have made a quick note of her phone number, but there was so much confusion there at the beginning of the show. I didn't get it. I just emailed her and told her, "Hey, call back." And but if anybody else is out there, you want a free Mayan birthday reading, we're at 347-996-3318, or you can Skype in. But and we've got our friend
Mark the Badger orcharding. You never guess where I grabbed that from, Mark.
Huh?
Did you hear that sound?
Oh no! Where did you grab it from?
you remember Thunderheart when they went to Jimmy's house? They had him in handcuffs and Thunderheart's boss told him to break the door down. And he says, "Oh no! The goons they just broke down my door." He says, get the key. It's in the can, you know, under the can, under the porch. So, watch his name sticks his hand under there, and he gets a wake up call. And then all hell broke loose, and Jimmy ran. But that is a badger attacking an FBI agent, folks. And
good for him. That's one way of curing things.
yeah, and then Jimmy.
You know the one of the stories in the Hopi about Badger, right?
No, huh?
They were down in South America, one of the clans, and in their tribe or in their clans, they had, I don't know, three or four of them with them, and I don't know exactly where it was in South America, but they were down in there. And one of the little girls was sick in their tribe, I mean, deadly sick. And they went out, and the story goes is they met a badger. And the badger told them what herbs to give the little girl to cure her. And it worked. So in return for what the badger had done, the Hopi clan renamed themselves to be Honani, Badger Clan.
Mm.
So the story goes is that's how the Badger Clan got started, and that's why the badger is associated with healing.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
That may not have been too far away from where you said the Cherokee were on the north eastern coast off the shore of South America?
Yeah, we don't really know. We just know they're living on a island off the coast of South America. Where, we don't know. We surmise that because of the pottery patterns used by the Indians in the Orinoco, which flows into the Amazon, that we had relatives down there. And Lynn has been trying to call. It's a crazy night. Lynn has been, she says, I keep calling, you don't pick up. And so I'm switching back and forth through email, but I asked her what her phone number was, and we'll just call her. Yeah, I've noticed, when I check the reporting on the show, we apparently have more callers than the system is letting come through, and why, I don't know. It seems to work sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. So if you can't get through, folks, you know, what you can do is you can go to my Facebook page, which is under William Scott Anderson, S-O-N, and send me a quick message, I suppose that's the quickest way, and let's go back and try to get Lynn on. This is kind of embarrassing, but, you know, what can you do?
Well, we can connect the Badger Clan now up to what we were talking about last night about Chaco Canyon and the Great Kiva.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were over there, too.
Hmm.
And they were one of the clans in, up north by Mesa Verde at the Spruce Treehouse.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
There's a place over there, I don't know how many, it's a short hike, but there's a place there called Pictograph Point. And it has a very large petroglyph on the rock there. And that particular picture has a story on it relating to the Badger Clan. There was this old guy, and they were having some problems, you know. Like every once in a while, you know, Hopi would be moving around their clans and getting little arguments or something with each other.
Okay, we've got Lynn on the line. We're all together finally. Oh, can you believe it? Anyway, folks, this is Lynn Mystic Healer from Angel Encounters. What was it?
Net.
Okay, I've got. Anyway, yeah. What's your? Not now. I know you're a lady, and you might not like to let us know, but I'll tell you what. If we need to know, you know, your full birth date, so you're gonna have to give it up.
Or you can Facebook it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's on Facebook or not, but anyway, yeah, do you feel comfortable in doing that?
Yeah, it's 7/21/52.
Okay, 7/21/52. Mark will go to work, do his magic, and I'll look up your...
July 21st, 1952, right?
Yeah.
And was that, as Blue Otter usually asks, before or after sundown?
It was 9:15 in the morning.
Okay, so it's before.
21 July 1952, okay.
So in the Mayan system, you were born on a day called 10 Eb, and it is the 192nd day of the 260-day cycle. And the 10 has a lot to do with a lot of creativity. Would be a big hallmark of your life. And then the Ebb glyph is typically related to things having to do a path and a journey. Things really a lot like that. And it's also called, in some things, it's called the... has an association with a rattlesnake sometimes too. And then the Otbal cycle, so that governs most of the energy, and that's the cycle that's associated with dreams, intuition, caves and stuff like that. So a lot of things like that, creativity, energy, paths, dreaming and things like that associated with your birth. That particular day is paired with another day in the cycle, which is the 4 Semi, which is a can be drawn as a skull. So some people associate that particular thing with like crystal skulls. And 4 Semi is the next one after 4 Semi would be a 5 Semi, and the Mayan elder Don Alejandro was born on that. So we had a person last night that was on a 6 Semi, so we're on a kind of a semi roll here and last night and tonight. And that one's really about transformation or change. Sometimes it's also called the death glyph too. So,
well, when you hear her background, you'll understand. Anyway, continue. You're nailing her.
So it's a white color glyph on that, and this balances your other one, so it's a path. So that tells us a balancing between a path of this world and a path of the next world as people pass on. So a lot of things having to do with that, all the way, you know, back to from the point in time you were born. Now we'll look a little bit now, and we'll look at another perspective. And this will be looking at several, two different time flows at the same time. And one will be forwards, one will be backwards. The forwards is what we normally consider normal time, moving forwards, just sequentially moving forwards. And then the backwards is moving from the next world cycle back into this one. And usually when I go over that one, I usually indicate to people that particular one is just things are kind of probably getting more prevalent or stronger in their life. Let me see. That was July 21st, 1952, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll look at that now. And I'm going to give you three different pieces of information. So we'll work on the forwards first. And this one we're showing up with peace. So this one's a little bit more, this one I'm getting ready to say, is a little bit more in all perspectives from the next world cycle, looking back at this one, even though I'm saying it's forward flow. And so in it, peace, it's things with peace, hope, childlikeness, tying with some fundamental basic patterns of creation itself. So probably you're interested in things like that. You're connecting up with things that have to do with soul, joy, and forgiveness that are partner energies to your peace. They help guide and balance out and work with the peace aspect. On the backward flow of time, we have the energies of love, loyalty, heart, good virtues. Semi-energy again that we saw before is showing up here again. This is suggesting that this is now bringing in this idea of the heart and love in the aspect of transformation and moving from one place to another, one world cycle to another, or life to death, bridging that, and any kind of change like that, especially things that tend to be more of what we'd call a divine change. So now these two come together, and when they come together, that kind of symbolizes the doorway or bridge for between world cycles from one point to the next. So, and it is talking about instinct, sacred power, life force. Again, this thing about tapping into a fundamental patterns of creation, energy of creation and such. And then it's coming up with something a little bit new that for guiding energy too, that of synchronicities, movement, and thought. This is going, and it also has some serpent energy to it, Chacon glyph. So it has a lot about how to use these other things of peace and heart and all this other stuff. And it's getting down to a more pretty down to earth. Let's figure out how to use this instinctively and survive with it.
Well, let me tell you and the folks a little bit about Lynn. She's a dual citizen, U.S. and Canada. She's a former RN and LMT. She has spent 33 years in healing arts and peace work, 10 years in international business, author of 3 books, Dreams, Past Lives, Holy Spirits, Your Soul, Angels Know All, and the Spiritual 9/11 Healing Handbook and DVD. She's done 6 healing and recovery CDs. She supports veterans for peace and Code Pink. She's a medical intuitive and a spiritual counselor. I know her personally, and she's a wonderful person. I met her in Northern California when I was on my journey. just before my poor roommate took shrooms and emptied 2 rifles and right out in front of his house. He thought a bear was attacking her. Anyway, we're glad to have her on board. And her, she's at angelencounters.net. But, yeah, I didn't mean to. I probably interrupted your flow of thought, Mark. And
I was just pretty much wrapping it up there, so.
Yeah, well, Lynn, you've been bit by the badger.
What does the serpent energy mean from your standpoint, Mark?
Well, it has a lot to do with energy flow. So if you took and look at the movement of a serpent, it is a coiling, spiraling movement. And that particular pattern will tie into that pattern of creation that we were talking about that showed up a couple times for you. And there would actually be 2 of them. There would be That's what Quetzalcoatl sometimes is called, the twin serpent, or the twins. And
has this got anything possibly to do with the number 11?
Yeah.
Because her Torah portion is all about the number 11, the 11-day journey. Mentor a wise understanding and appointed as leaders. And her Haftor indicates she might just be possibly a descendant of the ancient kings of Israel. So she's a special
person. Yeah, the number 11, and we're going to tie it right back to your verse here. We take the 11, so, and then we take the other one. Remember, there's two of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we add the 11 and 11. A lot of people say they see on clocks and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
11, 11, 11. We add the two 11s. We get a 22. Day number 22 in the Mayan Zulcan is 9-8.
Mm-hmm.
Your birth sign.
Mm-hmm.
So that connects it back in. If we look at the calendar stone or the Aztec sunstone, and you look on that particular stone, if you look at it carefully, you'll see there are two serpents on it. And there's the head, the tail, and there's 11 segments between.
Wow.
Them. So that'll go from the head through the 11 up to the tail. And the tail of there will relate to the stars of the Pleiades. So the serpent energy is also going to bring in those particular stars. A lot of people are showing up and having various connections in with that particular set of stars. And we also see that on the Earth. Mayan Don Alejandro and some of the Mayan elders talk about the fact that the men of wisdom or the grandfathers from the stars. And a lot of those grandfathers, they say, were from the Pleiades. And in fact, in some of the accounts of some of the Mayan elders, they said that some of the people from the Pleiades were living with them for 200 years or more.
Hmm.
And I've heard from a couple of other Cherokee, they talk about stuff about the Pleiades as well.
Rolling Thunder did.
And they say they had similar things. You know, some of the Mayan elders say that some of the information, if you go over to Tibet, to Egypt, all over the place, they see the same knowledge or wisdom over there that they were taught. So they basically say, you know, the Pleiadians were all over the planet. And people were learning quite a bit. And as you pointed out, the stars that are in the Book of the Apocalypse, where it says the seven stars, and it says the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches,
mm-hmm.
or angels messengers. And our person tonight, I forgot her name now.
Lynn.
Too good on, huh?
Lynn Mistakeeler. Lynn.
And her website's Angels Encounters. So the seven angels or messengers, those seven stars are said to be the angels or the messengers of the seven churches. Well, those are, like you've stated several times on several shows, those seven stars are the Pleiades. So it's saying that the seven stars, messengers, angels to the seven churches. Well, if you look at some of the maps of those seven churches, they're literally mapped out on the ground in the star pattern of the Pleiades.
Hmm.
They're very much similar to Gary David's work on with the Hopi, showing how some of the Hopi villages are mapped out in the pattern of Orion. So, yeah, there's a strong connection, but the Pleiades, there's a couple of Mayan words that relate to it. That's Zab and T-Z-A-B, which means like snake's tail.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and that's where on the calendar stone or the Aztec sunstone that most people know it as, the tail of the two snakes has a symbol sitting there. And that symbol is a 13 reed. And that's an important symbol. But it's between, at the tail, those two snakes. And that would connect it into the Pleiades. And so that tells us a little bit more about that particular stone, but back to what we were telling about the two snakes and the energy, those two snakes also show up in the Hopi story, one at the north and one at the south, kind of like eagle and condor, right?
Yep.
As they move, and in science, especially the research of the Russians on torsion fields, those torsion fields would move and have a characteristic that would be considered kind of a spiral serpent coiling type of energy. Those energy fields, in all likelihood, are responsible for what we call reality here on Earth. They govern quite a bit about it, and they're, I believe they exist from what we can tell, you know, in, around molecules, around the DNA, around everything. And they're coupled with photonic light. And there seems to be a relationship, but I can't explain that very well. But there's a relationship there. So there's a relationship between the light, between that movement, and between reality. And in essence, for people that are familiar with the idea of holograms and the holographic universe and all that, and quantum physics, then this connects. So I believe that that serpentine, serpent energy is a way of defining that pattern of creation. Does that answer the question for her?
Yeah. Well, Lynn, tell us a little bit.
Yes, I do soul work, and I connect people with their living matrix, their soul attached to their breath and their chakra system, and I get them to have direct contact with the Holy Spirit realm, and they are connected to the light ships, and the light ships are here, and they're trying to help us co-create heaven on earth. So I'm really working to unite the religions and all the spiritual groups and the peace groups, Native Americans. I'm working with other Inca Indians. I'm working with people in Africa and different master teachers and what have you. We're trying to get these new cities of light created, new civil services. During the Depression, we were able to create the CCC. Now it's time to create spiritual and peace related civil services, and we want help, all the help we can get, to activate these enlightenment centers for teaching and training the youth, instead of teaching and training them how to drug and jail and kill people and police people. We really want to have these enlightenment centers started so that we can teach and train the youth how to connect directly with Source, with their guardian angels, with the light ships, and start to co-create heaven on earth.
That's fantastic. Yeah, she's a very sincere, very gifted person. And we may have some callers on the line. Let me take a look and see if I can get them here. Yes, we do. Let me see if I can get one more caller on the line. Let's see, caller, you're Skyping in. Did you have a question?
Hello?
Hi, did you have a question for either Mark or our guest?
This is Donna. Could you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you can hear me. Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Mark, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, and Lynn, can you hear too?
Yes, I can.
Okay, and we also have another caller. Caller, can you hear us?
Hello?
Okay, so we now have five people on the line. Okay. So
yes, I was calling in to see if someone could read my birth date.
Okay. Go ahead and you know, we can do this if we have enough time. We could do Marcellus Bearhart another night. But go ahead and give Mark your information. And Lynn, you really deserve more time to talk, but we promised folks some free reading. So the Skype caller, why don't you give us your birth date first?
9/24/70.
And where are you calling from?
Pine Grove, California.
Pine Grove, California. Where'd you hear about?
24, 1906.
What'd you hear about our show?
Oh, Joanne spotted there. I wonder if you're out there. Joanne, are you out there?
She might just be out there.
Hey, Joanne, thank you for the info. This has been a good conversation.
Well, let's see. Who's calling from area code 605?
I'm 209.
Hello?
Hi, yeah. Are you calling from 605 area code?
Yeah, this is Joanne Spotted Bear.
Oh, okay, so you got your friend.
She did hear.
Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Joanne's an Oglala Sioux friend of ours. She's an activist and
great activist, Joanne.
She's worn out a truck over 200,000 miles trying to get stuff done for her people.
Okay.
And if there's anybody out there that can help her. Wants to make a donation to her, Joanne Spotted Bear. she is on Facebook, but did you get that birthday, Mark?
Yes.
Okay.
At September 24th, 1970,
right? Can you
watch
the two of them at the same time?
Yeah, we're all on there, and you're about to be bit by the badger.
Oh, I just got bit. Ow.
Uh-oh. that's the badger sound from Thunderheart, believe it or not.
Thank you.
Okay. Mark, what do you got, Mark?
She was born on the day 6 Chuan or 6 Bats. It's also called 6 Monkey. The number 6 tends to relate to things where go through a lot of tests and trials and things to learn and get you to grow. And then that's coupled with the Chuan glyph. And the Chuan glyph has a lot to do with weaving time and threads of time and destiny. Things with even with history. It's in the cycle of Semi, which governs the whole 13-day cycle, and it's on transformation, death and transformation. So a lot of things there are about change, time, weaving history, and trials and tribulations and things to go through. It's paired with another day in that same cycle, which is a reed symbol. So that kind of counterbalances it, and that's about power, authority, and things having to do on a bigger scale with the Earth itself. So that would kind of tie into not just the history of humanity and thrilling that, but that brings in a slightly bigger picture. And it also, its number is an 8, and that... a little bit more masculine energy to it.
So she's a 5-2-N?
6.
6-2-N, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she might... When you were younger, did you have problems with a short attention span and kind of being scattered?
Oh, yeah. Grew up in a way dysfunctional family. Didn't want to be like that, so I left... at 12 years old.
Right. You were a pretty serious person that had to learn to lighten up.
No. I'm the clown at the party.
Well, now, you've overcome your challenges were supposedly short attention span, scatteredness, and struggling, and being too serious, but that you've overcome, so you've learned to lighten up, and you've let go of a rigid belief system, and... projecting things on others, and so you learn how to reorder things. You're clever.
Well, I had to learn by myself, but I also was like I had the feeling of being guided through it all at a young age.
That you were, but you had some unresolved childhood wounds.
Oh, big time! That's gone now.
That's gone.
Connection to the guest.
Oh, the limp?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Me and Joanne are friends on Facebook.
Well, I'm going to switch over to the other mode right now. We're going to look at a couple of time flows and things like we did for her.
And then we'll do
for yours. Because on yours, we see, on a forward time flow, we see things that have to do with inquiring, reason, justice, and then the ebb energy that she was carrying is tied. So there's a connection there. On the backward flow, we see things about joy, soul, forgiveness, which we were talking about with her, and also partnering energy of peace. So in both of these two things, we're seeing the connections between you two literally showing up here. And then when you put them together and you build the bridge or the doorway to walk through, that is a off-ball glyph, which is about dreaming, intuition, and stuff like that, which we also saw showing up with hers as well. And stuff about here about your dreams and intuitions, but there's something a little bit different here, and it's picking back up on that Chuan energy that we talked about on the sixth Chuan on your traditional Mayan birth. And that is indicating that it's going to be important to go in and pull in things from ancestors.
And what was your name again?
Donna Johnson.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to get your name up on the... but go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
So, yeah. So that key thing's there. So probably... getting some ancestors popping up in your dreams every once in a while might work out pretty good.
Does that also mean you're aware of your ancestors when they come to you after death?
Remember, these are not necessarily just ancestors limited to this planet.
Yeah. Like I remember my grandfather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'd be a pretty normal place to start.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I see my first wife who passed away in 95, see her quite often. Of course, we had an agreement that she was going to help out after she passed away, because she left her son here with me. But hey, and Joanne, what's your birthday? I'll write that down, Mark, so you don't. Joanne's birthday is what?
September 20th, 1970.
Oh.
Okay. Okay, good deal. Yeah, go ahead, Mark. Didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, Mark. Didn't mean to interrupt. We got five people on the line, so it could get get a little hairy.
Was there another date we were looking at?
Well, yeah, Joanne's date is 20 September 1970. She's our Oglala Sioux activist.
September 20th, 1970.
Right.
So that date is also in the semi-cycle, and it's a two manique. And so the two is pretty obvious to most people. It's about balance, polarity, positive, negative, that type of stuff. And then the manique glyph is considered a thing about healing. Sometimes can be associated in things with forest, too. So sometimes these people do very well in a forest. Like to be around a lot of trees.
In a forest, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And this is Joanne, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. The September 20th, 1970.
Right. Person. Yeah, did you hear that, Joanne?
Yeah, I'm in the Black Hills right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you did good with the standing people.
This is cool. Compared with a day of 10 men or 10 eagle, so there's eagle, some eagle energy there too.
What'd you say Joanne's day sign was?
2 manique.
Okay. So she's she would have also struggled with distractions. Joanne, did you, when you were younger, or maybe even now? Yeah, you're probably not a procrastinator anymore, but you probably were at one time. Do you have problems completing things?
All the time.
Yeah, it's hard to focus on things, and you have a. You really want to be free, but you've got responsibilities, and there's a little bit of a conflict there, and you want to roam. So yeah, and that's part of your too manique. You tend to take on too much, and you feel inadequate that you can't do enough. You feel pressured and scattered. And
can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. Being an activist is not easy. It'll never be easy. And I find this not unusual, because my Aunt Beatrice Weaselbear is one of the 13 indigenous grandmothers of the world. And my grandma Helen Grant died in 1979. But both women once said, my grandma, she said that we would have to fight just to stay alive, because this government doesn't listen to what we have to say. And my Aunt B, on the other hand, she has went to the Pope to get the Doctrine of Discovery rescinded, and it didn't happen. And the Pope should have respected her, because she was one of the 13 indigenous grandmothers of the world and a treaty member of the Oglala Sioux tribe.
Do you know why they treat you that way, Joanne? I'm going to play a 30-second clip that I'll let John Trudell explain why they have to kill you.
Sometimes they have to kill him. They have to kill him. Because they can't break off spirit. We choose directly who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
And you guys have something in common with John Wayne.
John Wayne.
I won't be wronged. I won't be insulted. I won't be laid a hand on. I don't do these things to other people. I require the same from them.
So there you have it.
I like that. That's good.
Anyway. Yeah, and if one of you is in a kind of a noisy room, maybe you could move to a quieter room. But anyway, hey, listen, Joanne, we're going to get you back on for a full interview sometime real soon. And you bring your friend with you. You can both be on there. She can help support you. And because we really do owe you a full interview.
I'd like to just say that a lot of the people who called in, I put it on the internet all over to come to your radio show. So if you jammed it up, I apologize.
Oh no, it's not. It's no problem. I'm just kind of learning what I needed to do was I think it might, because in the studio here you have to, what I should have done is, rather than put Mark in the screening room, I should have had him come right on the mic with me, and had I done that to begin with, we wouldn't have had a problem. And we also have I don't know if we're going to get a sixth person on the line calling from 573. Who's this calling from 573?
This is Rainbow Sun Star.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, Brenda? Joanne. Hi, everybody.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, home week.
Hello. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
But, yeah, what we'll do is we'll get Joanne on for a full show, and we'll get, you know, you have all your friends call in, just have old home week. And
I think it's already happening.
Yeah, it's already happening. And we got, so what we have here is we have myself, and we've got Mark. And Lynn Mystic Healer. I don't have an angel sound up there, but anyway. And we've got Ogallala Sioux activist Joanne Spotted Bear and her two friends. And we now have six people on the line. So.
And the badger.
That's right, and the badger. Yeah, don't forget the badger. And John Trudell and John Wayne, too. Okay, so.
Watch out for the bites.
Oh, yeah, they get you. But yeah, I downloaded that. I always thought that was so cool, that portion where John Trudell was, Thunderheart was asking, why are you so dangerous? And he says, well, they have to kill us because we know the difference. But anyway, well, what do you folks want to do tonight?
I loved what the guy said about the birth date and everything. I think that's way cool.
Okay, well, Mark, go ahead and continue weaving things together, because this guy's a show in himself, and he's very modest, and he's got a story to tell. But he knows
Mark?
How to.
Could you give me a reading?
Sure.
Okay. My birthday is May the 5th, 1954.
May 5th, 1954.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Midwest, but I'm not from the Midwest. I'm from the South.
Where were you born? Just curious.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, okay. I'm in Crossville.
Oh wow!
I thought I detected a Tennessee accent.
Exactly.
Okay, so we have in the Mayan Zocan calendar, your birth was on a day called 13 Chacon, which is the serpents that we've been talking about, mm-hmm. And it's so it has that particular. Mm-hmm. Energy, and it would relate to, in the name Quetzalcoatl, the coatl part would relate to serpents, especially a water serpent. And the 13 has to do with things, that number is talking about things that typically if you looked at like the base of a pyramid, you know, where the pyramid's connecting to the ground, right? And in a pyramid, the pyramid has a structure that's representing the actual energy field or the torsion field. The actual shape of it does that. So that base of the pyramid was connecting, which is related to number 13 of the 13 Chacon. And then the Chacon being the serpent, the energy moving down, spiral energy moving down through it, fits pretty well. So it, you probably have an ability to work with and understand that kind of thing pretty well.
Correct.
It's paired, that's the last day of the Reed or Oz cycle, and so it's paired with that one Reed, and the one Reed also in many stories is associated with Quetzalcoatl as well, about the year that he would return. There's kind of stories and prophecies about that too. So you might... it might be interesting for you to look at a couple of the pyramids, the one at Chichen Itza, the Pyramid of the Sun at Teotihuacan, and a few things like that. And those might be interesting to you.
Yes.
On the other part, I'm going to swing through, let's see. I lost the date here now. May 5th, 1954. On that one, we see, I'm seeing a lot of green. things, strong things about.
Lynn, you're up there in Oregon. Are you ingesting something green? I thought I heard you exhale. Did you inhale too?
He did not go there. Oh my God! He did not go there.
Well, it was either that or you're doing some yoga or something. I heard you.
Yeah, I was breath. Pretty intense breath work. You guys are pretty intense. There's lots to do to shift the planet.
Well, see, I know.
I've organized.
I spent some time around Lynn, and she does that. But I thought I'd just crack a joke because it's a pretty serious subject that we're doing here. Anyway, I didn't
back
mean
to the green pyramids. Because if you looked, if they've done research and they found on a pyramid structure, they can measure coming out of the capstone of the pyramid a frequency of light.
Correct.
The color is green.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were looking from the sky downward upon that pyramid, you would see essentially a medicine wheel. In the directions, the four corners of the base of the pyramid, and in the center, or the capstone of the pyramid, would be in the center. In Mayan tradition, the center of it is green. And so science now is basically proving exactly what they've been saying all along. And your birth has a lot of connections, a lot to that I'm seeing. And it has to do with soul, joy, forgiveness, light, and especially radial light, spiraling light, in combination or being balanced and working with will, purpose, and discipline. That's one on moving from your birth forward. So those things have probably been there for a while.
But you probably had a problem with a bad temper for a while, didn't you?
Torrens or
yeah. Yeah. And did you ever have any problem with OCD?
No.
Sometimes you folks tend to kind of overschedule. Try to cram in too much stuff, and because you want so much experience, you just want to get it all in, but you can't. And try to rush things without taking a proper sex, and maybe overindulge. But once go ahead.
The thing about it, when I go out, I like to get everything done and not have to just like make extra trips, you know.
Right.
It's not like rushing or trying to cram it all in. I'm just trying to get things done.
So you've overcome a lot, you know.
Correct.
Go ahead, Mark. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right. Now on the backward flow, coming back, things that probably maybe been showing up in your life more, a little bit more here in the last 5-10 years or whatever, things that have to do with belonging, birth, natural things, attuning to things, tuning in, and that being connected into synchronicity and thought and things like that, and that has so kind of beginnings. Started things. And then as these two things to come together, we see the same type of energy show on your forward flow that has to do with soul, forgiveness, joy, and the same thing about radiance and light and will, purpose, and discipline. So those things show up again. So those are pretty strong, showing that they're probably going to be pretty significant for you. You're gonna probably find that when you're moving in that direction, things will work out really well, and you'll be doing doing what you need to be and be exactly where you need to be. And it's going to be pretty easy to tell that, because it'll have to do with, so there's an aspect of coming up in here a lot of forgiveness of things. And this is probably a key thing, probably not just for everybody. It's going to be pretty difficult, because if the more we see truth come out, it's not always a nice picture. And so one of the ways we move through it, really, is we're going to have a boatload of forgiveness. It's going to be a lot, because just how bad things have been.
What's this wee stuff, Mark? You got a mouse in your pocket? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Can I share a story to that?
Sure.
Okay, I was in Iowa last week in a small town called Donovan, not Iowa, but Illinois, near Chicago. And I went to church on Sunday, and I was in Donovan, I went across this creek, and it said Iroquois Nation, or Iroquois River, sorry. And then I went past this trailer court, and it says Iroquois Trailer Lot.
Huh.
And on Sunday, I had put on my beaded moccasins and my black khakis, and I had put on my ribbon shirt and my choker, my earrings, braided my hair and my jewelry, and I had went into church because I was real happy I was in Iroquois Nation, you know, thought was Iroquois Nation.
And yeah,
When I had went into the church, there was no natives in there at all. It was all white people. There was no black people. And the preacher, she said, does anybody have anything to be grateful for or that they want something to pray for? And I had told them, I said, I'd like you to pray for the Oglala Sioux tribe. They're in poverty and genocide. And I'm pulling out one of the largest lawsuits in the history of the world against your government. And I said, and the reason for that is, I said, look around in your church. I said, there is no Indians here, but yet you have the Iroquois River. There's no Indians here, but you have the name of the Iroquois in your trailer lot. I said, when all Indians are dead, this is what it's going to look like. It's going to be a church filled of white people, and you're all going to ask God to forgive you. But yet, look how your government is treating our people, genocide and poverty. I said, you want to ask for forgiveness? This is the way you're going to have to ask for it, not when it's too late. You better start asking for it. Because once I'm out of here, of Donovan, and I leave, that feeling that there is no Indians is right here in this town. Because it was really a sad feeling, and it made me cry. And the guy who worked with me to help me write a letter to the Queen of England and every embassy around the world to confront this federal government.
I don't know.
The guy, I'm going to keep him anonymous for right now until further notice. But he stood up and he said, I am going to help Joanne write this letter, and we will take it to international court in Switzerland and world court, and we will present this letter to the Queen of England and every embassy around the world so that the American government can no longer hide.
Good hiding.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody got bit.
I think that was the government guys.
Yeah, somebody bit the politician. Oh, gosh.
Their hands was in the cookie jar.
But I wanted to share one more last thing. I don't know
if I'll be able to get on this radio show again, because I do plan on going back to Pine Ridge and confronting tribal leader John Still, housing representative Paul Ironcloud, and some of our people who have mistreated our Lakota people in poverty and genocide, because I do have all the evidence. And they always say that people who have evidence usually get killed. And
yeah.
I'm not Anna Mae Aquash. I am Joanne Spotted Bear. And I am a landowner in Wounded Knee. I'm not any part of AIM. I'm just a common person who wants to help Pine Ridge. And I had invited everybody because I just like to, you know, have a little bit of fun and smile and laugh, too. And I thank you for allowing me to do that tonight.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, Joanne, did you ever hear of Red Cloud Law Office?
Yes, I did, but that was the first time I got that letter. I came back and I seen this letter, and it said Red Cloud Law Office, and I was like, what the heck is this? I don't know no law office named Red Cloud.
Yeah, that's my old friend, he passed away during Katrina, but he had that law office, and he had some dirt on the tribal council, and they locked him off the res. They wouldn't even let him go back. His name was Charles Yao. He was the guy that filed all the lawsuits to get a lot of the colleges to stop using Indian mascots. But but he was Red Cloud Law. They wouldn't even let him back on the res to get his papers out of there.
See, we got, before I left Pine Ridge, I got all the documents for housing. For I got evidence on the police station. I even walked out with a year of financial reports, the judiciary report, a video on the corruption within the housing, why there's poverty and genocide on the Pine Ridge housing. Everything that I have is documented. And if you could imagine what, remember where you throw your dirty laundry in, those dirty laundry baskets, those white ones, they're kind of big. I have one of those that are filled up with nothing but paperwork. And my friends are from Washington and in Chicago, they all said that there has been nobody ever to walk out with so many documents and to live to tell about it and then turn around and not be in a coma or dead. And one of the people who did an interview with me in Washington was Jim Cravens, a five-time who's who in America. And he told me, he said, you really do need a lot of people to help you to go over this paperwork. Because what you have here is unbelievable. And I was like, well, the tribe said I didn't have enough evidence. And he says, oh, no, you got more than enough evidence right here to put more than a few people away for a long, long time. And when the lawyer and I worked and looked at it, I had said, you know, if we have so much evidence, then let's just have the Queen of England come in and do her own investigation, because these problems are not ours. They belong to Europe because of the Straw Man Act and the money that's coming in from Europe. And with the letters being wrote to Washington and then neglecting Pine Ridge over the last 2 years, Mr. Obama is also, name has been mentioned, and I sent him a letter. And Tracy Tublu, who is the U.S. Attorney for Washington, D.C., his name is mentioned. And so that's why I say, you know, my time is valuable. I get kind of scared, you know, like I don't want to die. I'm not the one that told them to neglect their fiduciary duty or anything. I just basically, you know, ask them to come and help us to clean up the mess. I'm not the one that told them to you know, allow our people to live in poverty and just go on about their business as if nothing's, you know, to be expected. You know, I love my Indian people. I love all of you, no matter where you are, what you're doing. And this letter that I had wrote is based on that.
Well, we appreciate your efforts, and we know it's hard, and it's a brave thing to do, and we hope you don't end up face down in a ditch. Maybe if they kill you, they'll be nice enough to leave you face up.
Oh, no.
Well, you know,
Joanne, you need a hideout spot. I got one for you.
There's nowhere to hide. I can't hide.
Plenty of bullets
over here. I'm too well known to hide.
Well, make sure you make copies of your papers and such.
Yeah, you need to make copies of those papers and give them to...
Give them to them.
Well, I put some on the internet already on Facebook. I've did everything I thought I could possibly do. And those papers were supposed to be shredded and never to be seen by nobody. And you know what? I cringe. I cringe and I get scared, and like with my truck, you know, I was telling my friend here, I said, you know, my truck is at 212,000 miles, and my son, he told me, he said, Mom, nobody cares what you're doing. Why don't you just come home and forget everybody because they're not appreciated of what you're doing? And he said, you ruined our vehicle and trying to help people and they're not listening. They don't care nothing about you. So just come home, get a job, and forget it.
Well, this is the sound they need to hear. Now they need a little of that medicine.
Well, maybe we can also get the people listening participate in a prayer for protection and help for you and success in your endeavor and what you're trying to accomplish.
Absolutely.
I had Humblechod in Nevada, and right now I'm near Bear Butte, and I'm really thinking hard, you know, about what's going on and how I'm going to go into Pine Ridge and what I'm going to say, because when this all started, I used to think I was really brave. I used to think that everything was going to be all right. And now that I got the real taste of what the fear is, you know, I mean, I'm scared of God, the Creator, Tunkashila. I'm scared of Him. But me too, I want to live, and I want to have a good family. And I want all of our Lakota people and everybody out there, I want you to be happy, be proud of our traditional ways. And right now I don't feel so very proud. I feel actually really scared, and I try to not think about it. But my days and my nights are the same thought every single minute, is what am I going to do? What am I going to say? How am I going to help our people? And how am I going to show them to be brave whenever I don't feel very brave right now? And all those prayers, are they going to work? Because they're sure not putting them in jail. And why isn't Washington doing anything? And they know about it now. And the Shakopee Sioux, they know. The Arapaho Nation, they know. Everybody knows, but nothing's being done. So what am I going to do when I get in there? Because now they can really, really hurt me, and it seems like nothing's done. And sometimes I often wonder, do I need a gun to protect myself? Or am I going to believe in Creator and walk in there with just faith?
because our tribal people, they're our tribal leaders, some of them, they let me know, put it that way, they let me know what they're capable of doing. And they really didn't have to say very much. It's what they did, or the very few words they spoke. Mm-hmm. So I'm aware. I'm aware of what's going on now.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're never alone. You have a guardian angel to help protect you, too.
I think what she's saying, though, is, you know, when we look around the world, we see that same thing. I mean, it's pretty tough. When you look around, you see, you know, just corruption and greed and just people doing things that are unbelievable. You know, if they have any connection at all, they wouldn't be doing some of this stuff.
Industrial complex, the penal industrial complex, Homeland Security, and Big Pharma, pharmaceuticals. So, yeah, I'm in it too, hardcore.
We're all on the reservation.
Yeah, we're all living in exile.
Prison planet.
And the first welfare line was the pilgrims. They were fed, they were sheltered, they were taught how to grow food. And yet, they didn't understand the ways. So they chose to massacre. Nothing has changed.
No.
Well, what's funny is John still is his grandmother was married to my grandfather, and he's supposed to be my uncle. And I don't know anybody in my family who will turn around and kill us just because of money. My biggest question that I have is, you're in the military. You go to the military to protect this land. And when you come home, you're honored by your people. All of us, we honor you for taking care of this land, for keeping it for us so we can live. And then some of us, we vote you in to be the president of our people to speak up for us. Instead of speaking up, you take that money and you kill us by putting us in poverty and genocide. And then when it's turned around on you and they tell the truth about what you're doing, you don't like what's being said. And when there's papers to prove it, you don't like what's being done. But yet it's your handwriting that's there. And it's you who approved this. And then when it comes out, like with John Still, because I know his handwriting and I know it's him, everything leads to him, including the people who's telling me. They're telling me it's him, and he's the one, and here's the information right here. He turns around, and he points his hand at people as if he had a gun in his hand and pointing it like he's going to kill people. Now, what kind of real chief or leader does that to their own people, where they point their hand at you and talk about they're going to kill you just because they don't like what you did? Well, we don't like it either, but we never went around and pointed our fingers at the very same person we voted in to be tribal president or the one who protected our land. We don't go around and say, well, we want to kill you. Thank you for killing, you know, thank you for protecting our land. Now we're going to kill you. We don't never say that. Has made it.
No.
Say that. So I'm just sitting here, and I often wonder. And just kind of, I asked my friend, you know, like, you know, I just want to relax. I want to be to myself. I don't want to go nowhere. I don't want to do nothing. And when I'm ready, I'm going to get up. And I will go back into Pine Ridge and I will face the music. I will learn my songs very well, and I'll sing them. And at that time, I will have to be brave. And
you'll be okay.
Realize that the Creator is with us. Stand in there among us all.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to go hunting.
I have air quality issues.
do have Indian background, and I have black, so I do understand a lot about the atrocities and racism, and right now all I can think of is we all have to get back together with love and light and soul power connections, mind, body, soul. Each person has to reconnect to Creator Source, and we really need to unite the races and religions to save the planet. And the women need to step forward, and for the women, for the children of the planet, and work directly with soul source connections and the light ships so we can actually recreate spiritual and peace jobs, all the healing arts jobs, you know, so people are actually paid to be of love and light and healing arts services and light workers getting united, light worker services on the planet. Love.
Mm-hmm.
Love, please.
You like that, huh?
You know what, you're being really angry. You know what, your answers are inside of you. Sit down, let's get connected to source. Find out why you're angry. Stop acting out. You know, if you're aggressive, go do a sport. Find a sport.
Yeah,
you know, I got a question for Mark. Is there a contact information?
Oh, contact information for Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah, he.
Blue Otter can give it to you.
Yeah, he's at. You want to write down his last name?
Sure.
He's on Facebook. First name is Mark, and his last name is spelled B O R C H.
B O R C H.
E R.
E R.
D I N G.
E R what?
B O R C H E R D as in dog. I N G.
Okay.
Borcherding.
I N G.
Right, Mark Borcherding.
Okay. I appreciate your reading tonight. I just don't understand some of the ways you put it. So I was just gonna.
Well, if you want to ask, I can maybe try to help a little bit more.
Oh, it's okay. I could wait till I poke you later.
Okay, that's fine.
I want to tell Joanne to not worry, and you're going to be all right.
I got how to put this. For the lady who said love and light, I want to explain about Vern Traversy. I talked to Vern Traversy on the phone 2 days ago when I was coming back from Iowa, and I was on the road. And Vern Traversy told me he went to church, and he's 68 years old, and he's blind. And when he went to the Rapid City Regional Hospital, he only was supposed to go in there for heart surgery. And when he was in there, there was this woman. He said his stomach hurted, and he didn't know why. And he said there was this woman came up to him and said, I can't take it no more. I have to tell you. And I would like you to go home, and once you get home, you find somebody to take a picture of your stomach immediately, and don't wait. And so Vern, he is an old man, 68 years old and blind, and just had a heart surgery. He goes home, and he has his girlfriend come over, and they take a look at his stomach. And it says KKK. I asked Vern if he had anybody to help him in his court case or to sue the hospital or anything. And he said for 6 months he had a lawyer, and the lawyer told him to be quiet. And from that point on, he fired his lawyer, and he was looking for help. And I told him that I would help him to the best of my ability. And so sometime this week I hope to plan to go to see Vern and am able to help him in the best way I know how. If not, I'm looking for people who are other lawyers who can help us to help Vern to get justice. Nobody should go into the hospital. It's not a funny thing to talk about love, light, and peace when you don't practice it within your own mind, heart, body, and soul, and to your children. And then turn around and go to the hospital and do these kinds of things to people you don't even know. You know, as Indian people, our people, 300 million people have died so other people can have freedom and things. Things they are ungrateful for. And then turn around and laugh about it. I don't find that very funny. I mean, I laugh about some things, but that to me is not funny. To treat an old man who's blind, who's 68 years old, just any kind of way, and then tell him to shut the F up and don't say nothing, you know. I wish that they would tell us that, those of us who can see and those of us who are young. But there'll never be a doctor in this world to ever come to any one of us who can see and can speak up for ourselves and do that to us. But they did that to an old man. And I'm sorry, I feel kind of angry about that, but I don't know Vern either very well. I've never met him. I talked to him on the phone, but me too, I love him. I love him for living his life, for teaching those around him to love Tungashila. Because he's the way of life. He's the only way of life. There is no other life but the Creator. So if I come off a little bit of hard and a little bit of angry, I'm sorry, I apologize, but I love our people too, and I'll stand up for them the best way I know how.
Yep. I think there's probably a lot of people that have found out different things about what's going on all over that are similar type things, and I think a lot of people that know the truth sort of feel the same way.
Yeah. Jordan, yep. You stand up for what is right. You have the path of spirit within you. I stand with you, united. I feel you. I'm compelled to be drawn into what is needed, because all are one of the same energy. All the energy on the planet, above as is below, within the universe, all are one, comes from the same source. We have a care and a sharing and a spiritual energy embodied and networked. When we awaken and connect from within, our inner being energy that is given as a gift to us from Creator that created all, then we are shown and given knowledge and wisdom. And we reach certain levels throughout our lifetime, in this lifetime, as well as our other lifetimes that we have lived before us. All is within. Have no fear, because fear is for getting everything already resolved. The price is paid, it's done. Fear is negative energy flows. And no one can steal your spirit the way that they steal your land.
Well, I got good news. They didn't steal our land. I found that out. That's why we sent it to World Court and International Court. We found out that they did not steal our land. They couldn't have. it's all going to come out. We're still working on all the facts and everything, and we also know that there was making trade between the 900s to the 1400s before Columbus come. I mean, we already knew that, but we needed it on facts, on paper, and we found it, and we know that the Pope has 35 pages of crimes that are held against him. We found out all kinds of little juicy facts, and we want to let the world know, but little bit at a time, and it's just so beautiful, and I'm like, you know what, I can't wait till I'm able to show everything to all our people in justice of the eyes of the world, and no more of that sugarcoating, the corruption, or the lies. You know, we all deserve to be happy, and that's what we strive at, but so long as we sugarcoat, we'll never be happy.
Oh.
That's true. Hey, about Vernon and the KKK on his stomach, Ironized is the attorney for him. Joanne.
I didn't know that. The Vern told me that he didn't have nobody.
Oh, Ironized say he's going to see it through.
Okay, I'll be making another phone call to Vern and talking to him about that, and I'll be watching. I still might make a trip over there, though.
Yeah. I blasted that all over Facebook, too. And I called CanDo.org, too. They're good. They tell the truth to the world also.
What I don't understand is why there wasn't no FBI investigation on it. There was for Rodney King. Everybody remembers that one, right? And then there was a big riot to follow. And this old man, there's like, you know, totally being neglected, and he's native, and I'm like, oh, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah, didn't he wait since 2011 and nothing still's been done?
For who, Rodney King?
No, Vernon. So he got injured in 2011 and nothing happened till
October.
Today.
Okay, I remember Vern's case. He was in the hospital, and I had gotten a phone call from Pine Ridge, and they said, Joanne, they said, you need to go up to the hospital because there's an old man who's blind who has KKK written on his stomach, and they're going to do a news media special for him. And I went to Rapid City Regional, and there was no news media there at all. There was nobody there. So I was going to go up to Vern's room, but I didn't know Vern. And just like I told Vern, I said, Vern, the reason I did not go up to your room is because I didn't know you well enough to come to you and say, I heard that you had KKK on your stomach. And because the way I heard it was through a phone call. And when there was no media, I thought it was just, you know, gossip and somebody was lying and it wasn't true. And that was in October. And then when I did call Vern, he says, I have a lawyer working on it. And he told me not to say nothing. So for 6 months, nothing was said. And when I talked to Vern, 2 days ago, Vern said, we have put it all over the internet and underneath and in the newspapers. And I said, do you have a lawyer? Is anybody working with you or for you? And he said, no.
Oh, I looked up the hospital on Facebook, and if you scroll down, Iron Eyes has a comment that states that he's the attorney and he's going to handle the case.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then that's good. I mean, you know, that's great. But if
but
it's
the
not,
funny
then
thing
it's
is that
still, then either way is good. I'm not going to argue with you and say that's not going to be that way. Either way is good.
Well,
so
I don't know if it's true because I put a message to Iron Eyes. Are you going to see it through? Are you the attorney? He never messaged back a message saying he is or he's not. I just want to make sure he gets justice.
Yeah.
You know,
I think they left us on the radio by ourselves.
Oh, we're here.
Everybody left, no.
We're here.
Yeah. Did you guys fall asleep? Hello?
I think that other guy's busy biting another guy.
Well, you know, your friend, you know, they just have to kill
sometimes
him.
They have to kill him. They have to kill him.
Yeah,
they can't break off spirit.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That's right. Wait, you know what they reserve? You know you know why they call it a reservation?
Why?
Because what they reserve is education.
I'm on the radio.
It
I
was
want to
nice
say
hearing
each and every
you.
One of you.
Oh, it was nice to hear you.
You too, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be on this radio show. And thank you for allowing us to, you know, talk and have our readings and to jam up the lines a little bit.
Yes, thank you, Mark, for the reading. That was nice.
You're welcome.
Finished mine. You got halfway, and that was it. But we'll catch up to you again.
Oh, yeah, we're going to come get you. Let's bag them and sack them, Joanne. And show them what Aaron Vine looks like. No, I'm joking.
Has this U.S. government put any FEMA camps on any of the reservations?
No.
No, but they're giving them trailers, and then, like our president, will turn around and sell the trailers for anywhere from $4,000 to $9,000 to people who don't have jobs.
Oh, nice.
Oh, how about Crow Creek Reservation, Joanne? That's a big one where the government stole the land and built the hydroelectric plant on. Remember that one?
You can't steal the land twice.
Oh, are you guys involved with any of the Occupy groups?
No.
Okay.
But I appreciate what they do. It's a lot of young generations standing up and finally opening up their eyeballs.
Yeah, that's the work we're working on.
No, seriously, the government stole some Crow Creek land and put a hydroelectric plant on it and promised all the people free electric. That when it was 30 below zero, they pulled meters if they didn't pay their electric bill. Was 3 times the national average. So, CanDo.org got involved, and Keith Oberman got involved also. and raised $250,000 in 48 hours. That was a cool thing.
Really?
Is CanDo.org the most progressive kind of radio or, you know, internet talk show that you guys are involved with?
CanDo is an organization that goes and helps people around the world.
Okay.
And they tell the truth and put it for everybody to see.
Yeah, that's why we have the internet to connect to everybody. There's so much going on everywhere. All the governments.
Oh, everywhere around the world. Everybody is in uprising, too.
Yes, yes!
And everybody one day will unite and make a difference.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when that day comes, we can all say hallelujah.
And when that day comes, I'm going to say my readings were correct.
No doubt about it.
Now I have a question for every one of you.
Okay.
Okay, do you think it's okay to be an activist and then turn around and molest your child and tell the world how to live?
Probably not.
No.
We have one among our people who is an activist and molested his child and goes out there and tells people what a warrior he is.
What's his name?
Right now, I'm not going to release that. But I am going to tell you that. And this person, if he is listening, I did show your paperwork to some of the members in Washington State. The letter was actually written by your wife.
Whoa.
That you molested your daughter.
Oh, boy, what a
and,
job.
And what I'm asking you to do is to back up out of being an activist, because it's not right for you to tell people around the country that you are an activist and you stand up for what's right, but yet you turned around and molested your daughter. And then your wife, she wrote us a letter, and we also know that you're going to different tribes and telling them you're an advocate and you're collecting money, but yet you can't fulfill your job. And so you're basically stealing money from your own people, no better than the tribal president or the federal president is doing to us. And that's not okay.
No, it's not. Things will happen, especially if his name gets out.
That's dirty pool.
Everything is starting to be out in the open. There's, you know, you can't hide the truth anymore, which is good.
Well, truth prevails. It will always prevail when you're a truth seeker.
Yeah.
Can never stop being a truth seeker. And you're not doing it all for just yourself. You're doing it for the whole and the next generations.
The kids, what do they have? What kind of services do they have to look forward to right now? Policing, drugs, daily? Military, robotics, I mean, Homeland Security, no, vaccinations, they're up to 1,000 now, new vaccinations that they're working on. Our Health and Human Services is bought out by
the big pharmaceutical companies, and there's over 1,000 now. I thought they were working on about 100. Somebody else said 150, and the latest statistic was 1,000 new vaccinations.
If I can share one thing in Indian country, that's this. BIA is ran under the military. The military is ran under the federal government. Guess who the federal government is ran under?
Who?
The treaty. We are the treaty of this land, 564 federal recognized tribes.
And don't forget,
we are the ones that are supposed to tell the government what to do, not be told how it's supposed to be done.
And then you got a few tribes that haven't been conquered, like mine.
But she's right on that. The people are the owners. Not them.
So there's actually still treaties with England, though, too, which are ugly, really ugly.
Why that letter went to the Queen of England, okay? That letter that we wrote did go to the Queen of England. There's better ways to take care of business. And the way that's being taken care of now is everything stops at the BIA office or by the military. And it doesn't reach Washington, and if it does reach Washington, it's neglected, and it's never sent out to, like, to the Queen of England or whoever is in charge. And this letter that I'm talking about, I strongly encourage everybody to please read it. It's the letter to the Queen of England, and it is sent out worldwide. So if I gave it to you, or if you don't have it, send me an email or send me a message on Facebook, and I'll be grateful to give it to you. And
I would love
it
that.
To get passed it around everywhere.
How do I get a hold of you on Facebook?
Joanne Spotted Bear on Facebook.
Yeah, how do you know Joanne?
I copied and pasted.
A-O-A-N-I-E? Or J-O-A-N.
J-O-A-N-N.
N-N.
Spotted
okay.
Bear.
Okay. Spotted Bear. Good.
I like the letter a lot.
Okay.
I
would like to have that. Yeah, I would love a copy of it. Can you send me a copy to
send
an email?
Send me a message on Facebook, and I'll be grateful to give you a copy. I think everybody should take a look at it, acknowledge it, and if there's any questions, I promise I will answer them to the very best of my ability. And if there's anything wrong that's being said, now would be a good time for all of us to come together and correct it. I don't think that God so much wants us to unite, like hold hands and be buddy-buddy close together, but how well are we going to work together, mind, heart, body, and soul? And this is the biggest challenge for all of us, because a lot of us, we don't like to work together. We'd rather talk about each other than say kind things, and that's pretty, it's an easy thing to do. But it's a hard job to accomplish, because everybody wants to be number one, whenever in reality God loves us equal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We all have special gifts, and the gifts are always God-given, and that's part of the Soul Purpose Developmental Programs and the Light Centers and all the spiritual and healing arts and music, and people should be paid to be of spiritual healing arts and peace. Piecework, you know, just pay people to be a helping, healing, and loving one another. And the Christians, why aren't they just coming aboard, I mean, and paying people to help heal and love one another? I mean, knock off the wars. I mean, pay
Christians
people.
Aren't going to do that.
Yeah, well, maybe we can make them. I'm on the road to shake them into into compliance with their commandments. Thou shalt not kill, number 5.
Oh, Christian, don't worry.
Churches on board, it's really tricky.
To find its way like a river.
What's up, boarding school?
Okay, guys, I'm going to go to bed. It's late here, and I have a lot of fun on the radio station. And I want to say thank you, Wopila Takasa.
Pilami.
Thank you, you know, like that. And I had, like I said, I had a great laugh tonight. Really enjoyed myself. I think I took it overboard and took over the radio show.
Hey, I didn't mind. I did not mind. You need to be heard, woman.
Thank you, Joanne.
Okay,
I'll be in touch.
I'm out of here.
Thank
you, Joanne. Thank you once again. And we'll
thank
see
you
guys
Mark.
On the internet tomorrow. Thank you for having me on your show.
Hey, anytime.
Uh-huh.
Anytime.
Good night.
How often do you do this show, Will?
Every night.
Every
Ooh.
Night.
Yeah, we don't we do live interviews on the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Tonight was kind of special. It just kind of happened. But that's okay. That's
yeah.
okay.
Oh, cool. That's so every night. Whoa, cool.
Well, I've got over 100 interviews I did back between 2004-2008. So I'm replaying some of those, and then we'll do live stuff, you know, three nights a week, and.
Oh, I like your show.
Well, we're just trying to hold on to our faith. And so.
Found the faith to carry on.
Yeah, we're just doing what we can.
Boy,
oh yeah.
There was a lady. I caught this show. This lady, a soldier, an army lady, and I lost the email I was trying to share, and she was saying that these mandatory vaccinations are going to start with roadblocks. The military is stepping in with these roadblocks, and they're going to start near L.A. or something. That's what she said. And she's just all freaking out, going, I just can't do this. I mean, I joined the military, but I just can't do this. And they were going to have bracelets and chips in them, and it's just bizarre. It's just insane. And so anyway,
yeah.
She's just kind of freaking out, and so I'm like, oh my gosh, we've got to get, you know, we really have to get organized, really get organized. And get,
people need to get out of the cities.
Yeah, but at the same time, the cities have a lot of people power, and with the internet, what have you, I mean, if we can turn some of the city, get them to start the new bases of, you know, these new bases. Because we really, we're not going to have any countryside left if we don't save the cities. The cities have to move it, and they've got to get these centers started, and they really need to start the new teaching training programs with the new and ancient ways of healing, and like I said, integration with the light ships, inside out. You know, their information's inside of them. How to connect with that. How to let go, work with source vibrations, you know, and then also to get them on their soul purpose. What are they really here to do? You know, is it energy, food, animals, elements, whatever, and move them, you know, get them connected wherever it is, if it's languages. And really, we've just got a lot of a lot of work to do, and they really need to get these new peace and civil service jobs created so that we can shift everything, shift, you know, flip the planet into the light, shift all the old fear-based ego mind programs into love and light and spiritual and peace, you know, healing arts.
Yep,
and,
we sure
know,
do.
We're supposed to be joyful children of God on this planet. Of light,
hey, listen,
of
the,
love, of joy, and healing, and edible landscapers everywhere, and musicians, and art, and music, and singing, and dancing, and spirit dancing, and powerhouse, and prayer dancing, everywhere.
Hey,
but,
we appreciate,
you know,
we appreciate everybody being on. Block Talk's going to cut us off in about 30 seconds. So
okay,
I want to
bless you, love you, and thank you, Will. Hope to
hey,
you,
bet.
Connect again soon.
It'll
thank you, Mark. Thank you. Blessings. Much love, much light. Mwah. Love
thank
you guys.
You so
thank
much.
You.
And the Block Talk will let us play our out music, so we'll say goodnight to everybody.
This is Jasa Sagonige, a seventh-grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You're listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing, and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Tell me your great secrets.
of other times, let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper. Let the truth